Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is @TheVikingAge, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show, we have Luke Parrish. He has been on the show before. He writes for us here at The Viking Age, does some good work for us. So just welcome back to the show, Luke.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I've been trying to get on for, it feels like a while now. I've been kind of busy the last few times we've tried to make it work. So it's good to finally have a time.
We got you on to talk just a few things going on in the Vikings world right now. They got they've narrowed their GM search down to two candidates, Kwesi Adolfo Mensah, the vice president of football operations for the Cleveland Browns. I believe his second interview is on Tuesday. This will be recorded on Monday. And then we have Ryan Poles, who is the current executive director of player personnel for the Kansas City Chiefs. His second interview is, I believe, on Wednesday with the Vikings. And I believe the reports are that the Vikings are favoring Poles at this point. Before we get into any other stuff, do you have any like opinions or thoughts, or does it matter to you who the Vikings pick? Between the two guys that they're bringing in?
Between those two, it doesn't really matter to me a whole lot. They were the top two for me coming in. The name slipping my mind now. There was one other candidate. I think it was another one in the Chiefs front office that they kind of talked about early on. I don't think he ever got an interview or anything. I don't think he's interviewed anywhere. But I know he's like their big salary cap guy. But Poles was the perfect candidate because he kind of took over that offensive line rebuild that they went through last year. And obviously every single year you talk about, well, the Vikings got to have a better offensive line, which yeah, but like you have 3 out of 5 good starters on your line. That's as much
quarterback as quarterbacks do play a part, and play calling does play a part in the performance of the offensive line too.
So. Yeah. So like Poles, I think you might have tweeted it out as well, but like his he's been around Kansas City, obviously. He's gonna have that sort of fresh look from seeing success within an organization. He was there with the Mahomes trade up, the guys they've gotten throughout the draft. They fixed their offensive line over the span of 3 months last spring. And it's put them right back in the AFC Championship. With Kwesi, I've not done as much of a deep dive in him. I do know that he's very high level candidate. Done a lot of work in Cleveland, and it seems like a lot of people are very high on him. So,
but he wasn't around for when they drafted Baker Mayfield. So I see a lot of people sometimes mistake him for being there when he did that. No, he arrived in 2020. He was with the 49ers before for a handful of years.
Which, if you get, you look at what San Francisco's done, you're going to get somebody from the Shanahan tree or who's the other
McVay.
One? McVay, yeah. In terms of the coaching staff, you add that into the GM search as well. You're trying to find anywhere that you get any sort of chemistry, some sort of balance. And that's what I think the Vikings are doing. And they're going with two young guys, right? They're not going for Elliott Wolf. They're going after, they've narrowed it down to the guys who are in their 30s. Because as much as you want to say you need the experience, you need the age, you need those young eyes to help kind of see the better trends of what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Mike Zimmer being gone. You can't just keep trying to preach these old philosophies that they're not working anymore. At some point you have to take your losses, find something new, and hopefully go younger and let that kind of be the new model.
That's why I kind of laughed yesterday, because I think it was Mike Garofolo from NFL Network said that Todd Bowles is in the thick of the hunt. And he's 58. So it's how much of a difference, you know, Mike Zimmer's a couple years older than him.
Right.
He's a defensive guy. He's known to be kind of crabby at times. You know, what? How is he going to be much different than what you just had?
Not situationally, like, we're yeah. exactly what you're getting.
What are, yeah, what are you? What yeah. are you doing? You're just treading water or whatever. Yeah, I'll be curious to see. You know, depending on who they go with, if they bring in any more head coaching candidates, because you would think, you know, if Poles comes in, maybe he brings in a Doug Peterson because of, you know, their connection to the Chiefs. You know, maybe an Eric Bieniemy, maybe a Mike Kafka, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the connections to Mensah. He might, you know, he might favor someone like D'Amico Ryans, you know, which I wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't really have a preference. I think I think I would prefer Poles because he is a former offensive lineman. So I feel like he might have a better understanding about what that position needs and what it takes. And he's not like an older former offensive lineman. He's 36, so he's more used to kind of what the modern, you know, what you need from a more modern offensive lineman compared to like some of the traditional traits you would look in, you know, from offensive linemen now. And I feel like developing the trenches is very important for the success of your football team as far as stopping the run and getting the quarterback and then, you know, blocking, pass blocking and run blocking. I feel like those are two very important things that really got overlooked. I guess not on the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings for the most part because they had a really good pass rush and they're pretty decent at stopping the run. But as far as pass blocking and run blocking was okay, but blocking in general on the offensive side of the ball was pretty poor throughout Rick Spielman's tenure.
What? I mean, you look at the playoffs, the everything goes through the trenches, right? San Francisco dominates the trenches. They
except
pull
for the Bengals.
Yeah, except the Bengals. And guess what? They've got a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's got the mojo. Mm-hmm. He's got everything you need. He can make plays with his legs. It did cost him a couple of
but
times.
Did you see his stats? He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he threw, 14 interceptions?
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
And it's only in like the last 4 weeks of the
year.
They're
in the AFC Championship. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the Rams, big reason why they got that win in the divisional round is Tampa Bay had, I think they had three starting linemen out or battling injuries of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, Tristan Wirfs or whatever was out.
If you don't have anything in the trenches, you're not going to really stand a chance. And I think that's what. That's why I think Ryan Poles should be the front runner. And I think that's why he's viewed so highly in the league. So I think Chicago's got a second interview.
Yeah,
with
he's got an interview with Chicago. And I'm like, what are they going to say? Like, people are worried about Chicago stealing him from the Vikings. And I'm just like, what are they going to say to him that's going to be, like, so much more convincing than, you know, going to the Vikings? Because you look at, like,
bound to. It doesn't make sense they would go for, like, a young GM with a young quarterback and then go and hire Leslie Frazier,
right,
be their head coach. I mean, like, that's so different.
But you look at like the facilities. I mean, even I think the Bears are looking to build a new stadium and facilities. But right now, you look at the Vikings; they got like their facilities as far as stadium and practice facilities. They are arguably the best in the league.
Yeah,
that's a huge tool for a GM to, you know, in free agency and other things to, you know, work with as far as, you know, he's got all these tools for, they got the draft room or whatever that they just built or whatever for that. So I'm just, people are worried about the Bears stealing him. I'm like, the front office and ownership is just like in shambles compared to, you know, people worry about the Vikings or whatever. It's like, it's nothing. And then you mentioned the salary cap guy from the Chiefs or whatever that didn't interview. But I think the reason the Vikings are more comfortable going with maybe like a more analytics or scouting based GM is because they have Rob Brzezinski.
Right.
And he's regarded as like arguably the best cap guy in the league.
They've said he's going to have a huge role in the hiring process.
Yeah. He's been in the Zoom calls or whatever.
Yeah. So he's still going to have his role.
And he's been around with the Vikings for a while. He's been through a couple of regimes. So
he's and that's the role.
Yeah, that's something with Ryan Poles too. He's been with the Chiefs for over a decade, through through different regimes, and he's been able to stick around. So the fact that these guys are able to stick around through different regimes, you know, it says that they're, you know, good at what they do. So moving on from the GMs, that should be decided by the end of the week, I feel like. I would imagine.
It should be early in the week. We have a little time to interview more
coaches. All right. Once they figure that out, they're probably going to figure out who's going to be the head coach. The Vikings have already interviewed 8 guys. I just want to go through all 8 with you, and you just give me, you know, opinion. Doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be short. Just give me your thoughts on these guys. So we'll just start with Kellen Moore, the Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator, who is 33 years old.
Okay. That quarterback draw is getting way too much attention.
For sure.
He still had the number one offense in the league, yards and points wise. And I believe he did it with Dak missing time. Zeke was not who everybody thinks Zeke is. He's like maybe a top 25 running back in the NFL, if we're being generous. And like, CeeDee Lamb hasn't lived up to the expectations you'd expect. Amari Cooper's not playing up to his contract, it would seem. But they're still the number one offense in the league. They won their division easily. Granted, it's not a great division. I don't think he might not be there yet. I would say no, just because I think there's a couple guys that they've interviewed that I do like better. But like, Kellen Moore is not some scrub who's not going to have success. He's going to find a job at some point. I think he's going to be a really good head coach. It's just a matter of when he finally gets that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with that one play being blown out of proportion.
Field so quick. They ran that hook and ladder play and got all the way up, like, to where they had a manageable situation. They just didn't pull it off.
What if Dak spikes the ball? Does the thought immediately change on Kellen Moore if he gets the spike off?
Right. You can't base your entire like experience of a guy just based off of one play.
I don't even know if I would put that on Kellen Moore. I might even put that on Mike McCarthy. He's supposed to be the head coach and the veteran guy to be like,
yeah, he said passed it and he approved of it.
Yeah.
That didn't do what he needed to do. They didn't get set in time. That's not all on the OC.
No. Yeah. I do think 33. I feel like that's pretty young. That's younger than some of the players on the Vikings roster.
Yeah. But this roster in the league or whatever. I thought
the Vikings.
No reason to worry about their their age.
No. What's Kirk Cousins like? Kirk Cousins will be 34 or 35.
Yeah.
I think I need to see, because he's been in the OC in Dallas for what, 2 years? And one was only one with Dak. Because he was hurt.
Quarterbacks coach for a year or two before that.
I'd like to see another year out of him. I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh no, they hired Kellen Moore.
Yeah, he's not my top choice, but he's better than a couple names you're going to list, I think. So.
I think the thing with him, though, because he's so young, I feel like he'd be someone who would bring in a lot of experience on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd bring in, you know, kind of like how Zimmer brought in some former head coaches to be on his staff. I could see, you know, Kellen Moore maybe doing that, bringing like Wade Phillips or something to do the defense. I don't mind him. He's not my first choice. What about Nathaniel Hackett? He is currently the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator, and he is 42 years old.
I like Hackett. I mean, I know, like, again, you're going to point to, well, they scored 10 in the playoffs.
No, I don't care about that game.
Hackett's a good offensive coordinator. I mean, I have a piece that I've got, I've been working on.
Yeah.
I talk about Hackett a little bit. He took Jacksonville to the AFC championship with Allen Robinson. I think he tore his ACL in, training camp that year.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette ran the league's best offense, number one in rushing. They were up there like fifth or sixth in overall.
Like Allen Hurns they had?
Yeah. I mean, that alone should get him a lot more respect than it's gotten.
And he was with the Bills too. I think he led them to like 9 wins with like Kyle Orton.
Yeah, I think because it was EJ Manuel, and then it switched to Kyle Orton.
Yeah, and then he was with Syracuse before that, and you know, we all know Syracuse is not a football powerhouse, but you know, he helped them win more games than they should have. I think they went to a couple bowl games when he was there.
He's done a lot with not very much. He goes to Green Bay. He's helped them. I mean, they've dominated the NFC North. Let's not be foolish here. Like, since Kirk Cousins has been in Minnesota, Green Bay has run right through that division.
Yep.
You add him to the mix, whether you keep Kirk or not, I think that opens things up for your offense. He's not my number one choice, but he's another one. I like him more than Kellen Moore.
Okay.
His experience is much more favorable, and I think he's a guy that if they take him, I'm going to be ecstatic about it. So.
Yeah, I think being with those teams in the past helps him, because people can always just be like, oh, well, he's with, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
No, Rodgers carried him. Yeah.
He doesn't even carry him too. Rodgers carried Mike McCarthy too. So, you know, Rodgers is like, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, despite his lack of success in the playoffs. But yeah, I don't mind him. He's in him being in the division. I like, cause he's familiar with, you know, what it takes, and him being with the Packers during their success. I like too, because he realizes what it takes, and he could probably take some stuff from Matt LaFleur and that offensive scheme and take that with him wherever he goes. And apparently he's well-liked by, you know, his players, and Rodgers speaks very highly of him, which with that guy, you know, your opinion on him, you know, no matter what, whatever it is, I think it feels like you got to be someone different or stand out for Aaron Rodgers to kind of like go out of his way to speak highly of you.
Right.
And he does that for Nathaniel Hackett. So, yeah, I think it's another meh. Like, I feel like a bunch of these guys are a lot of meh guys. So let's move to the next one. Todd Bowles, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive coordinator, who is, like I mentioned before, 58 years old.
If they want to keep being the team that they are, I think Todd Bowles is the guy.
Would you be happy if he brought a defense that blitzed the corner and let the safety cover Cooper Kupp on a game-winning touchdown pass?
I mean, the problem is, like, he's always been bad situationally. Like, he had, like, glimpses of success even with, like, the Jets. Mm-hmm. He made them somewhat decent.
I think they won 10 games 1 year. Yeah.
Like, they were a decent team, and if you know the Jets, they've not been that. Ever, but they've been a very bad team since what, like 2010 or whatever. He's been a very good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It depends on what you would do with your head or with your offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator and stuff like that. I don't think looking solely at Bowles as the head coach, there's not enough to convince me that he's the right choice. But I like, it's not the worst case. That, trust me, there's one guy that I will not want him. But, like, yeah, Bulls, I would prefer him to go. I'm not even going to say to go offensive-minded, just to go young.
Yeah, he's 58's, you know, going from Mike Zimmer and then going to a 58-year-old, I feel like you're not really, like I mentioned before, you're not really, not a lot, a whole lot's going to change. And he's a defensive guy, so you bring that guy in, the players on offense are still going to feel like, you know, who's fighting for us?
Right.
And yeah, like you mentioned, he's with the Jets. So I give him, you know, a little benefit of the doubt, because anyone who tries to coach there is just pretty much doomed from the start.
Right.
But then I get a little hesitant with pretty much any coach that is part of a team that Tom Brady is a part of. Just because of everything that, when he's with the Patriots and all the coaches that have come out of there and not been successful. You know, I feel a little differently about Byron Leftwich, cause he's been successful without Brady, in the past, but I don't know. I know Bulls turned that defense around, cause it was pretty bad, but
yeah,
they also spent a lot of money. I feel like
Yeah, and like it's tough because you could look at it and it kind of goes back to Brady. It's like, well, they have Brady. They know that they have a chance to win a title now.
Right.
You're going to have a little bit of an edge
right.
going after free agents. Like they got Richard Sherman this last year.
Yep.
They can retain – like they brought back all 22 starters. Yep. That's going to play into it. Whether how big that's going to be, it kind of – it always depends.
And you probably feel when you're calling plays on defense, you probably – are a little looser because you know you have Tom Brady.
Yeah, like
on the other side of the ball.
I saw it yesterday, they were it was 27-3. Like they were never out of it, and like that's not like the defense was still aggressive. They weren't afraid to let the Rams put that game away,
right.
because they were going for the big. They were going for the turnovers, and they pulled it off, and they almost came all the way back.
I do like the aggressiveness of his defense though, because. I feel like with Mike Zimmer, that was the thing earlier when he was with the Vikings. And then as it last couple of years, he's been like blitz one guy here or there.
Yeah. Like I think it was once like Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr both kind of like Smith is still very good.
I think that's slower.
He's slowed down. Oh. You can't really argue that. And once that happened, it kind of takes away the impact he can have at the line of scrimmage. Same sure. Barr's injuries kind of kept him out of it. And once that happened, I think Zimmer just got too timid and it crushed him.
Yeah, and his defense just went to shambles. All right, moving on to another defensive mind. I believe you interviewed with them on Sunday after a marvelous performance in Green Bay. D'Amico Ryans, San Francisco defensive coordinator. He's 37.
Yeah, I think he's my guy. I think he's my number one pick right now. So... This is not going to happen. I know that there's no chance that this is possible. If he brought Mike McDaniel with him, which I don't think he's going to leave an OC job for another OC job on a team that's not at the same level of San Francisco, but that'd be a fun pairing right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans has been phenomenal and, he just went to Lambeau and shut down Aaron Rodgers. I think run 55 yards in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. He knows what it takes to win. He wasn't afraid to kind of get dirty. He let his front four took over the game, which is what the Vikings can do if they have their front four healthy. With whether they bring back Tomlinson and Pierce and they have Hunter back and he's healthy, if you let those guys just win – and don't need to rely on pressure. You have decent coverage. That's what's going to really turn this thing around. Because right now they're relying on DJ Wonnum and James Lynch to supply the pressure. And you have like a 31-year-old Patrick Peterson who was fine, but he doesn't have the athleticism he had.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
Anyway, you used to go.
They're bringing him back.
Yeah.
He wants to come back.
I like Cameron Dantzler, but he's not consistent.
He's not the number one guy.
And then that's it. Those are your corners. You have no depth behind
Chris Boyd. Come on. What?
Yeah. Yeah. If he ever knew where a football was, he might be okay. But I think Ryans is the guy that I would want to come in and just overhaul the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can find some similarities. Like San Francisco doesn't really have any premier corners, kind of like the Vikings.
Right.
They've got two good safeties in Tart and Jimmy Ward who kind of they move around. Eric Kendricks and Fred Warner, two of the top linebackers in football.
Same number.
Relentless front fours. I think you can kind of see some similarities there. It's just a matter of the Vikings have to get that depth in there in order to have a chance. But I think Ryans is a guy that I would definitely stand on the table for.
Oh, yeah. I like him. I like that he's a former player, recent former player.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Niners defense, you could argue that it got better this year with him in charge compared to, you know, Robert Saleh the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of injuries too. So it wasn't like he had his full, you know, arsenal to work with all year, but the defense has been good all year. You know, the offense has had some question marks, but I feel like the defense has kind of kept the Niners in, you know, the hunt this year and helped them get to the playoffs. But you mentioned Mike McDaniel. Yeah, I love that dude.
I wish he had an interview.
I've heard some rumblings that he wouldn't want to coach in a state where a certain plant is illegal. So I don't know if he'd be going to Minnesota. And I believe that because I believe he's from Denver, Colorado. He's friends with he's good friends with Dan Soder, if you know.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, okay, yeah, I
don't think he's going to go to Minnesota. Unless he was, they're like, we'll make you head coach. And I'll be like, okay, maybe I'll think about it. But yeah, I love that dude. He's a breath of fresh air if you watch him, like after watching a Mike Zimmer press conference. You're like, how do these guys work in the same sport?
Right.
All right, moving on to Jonathan Gannon, Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator. He's 39. He was the Vikings assistant defensive backs coach from 2014 to 2017. What do you think?
I mean, I've not looked into him nearly as much. I just didn't see as much steam with him, so I didn't never came. I do know he's interviewed well.
Yeah.
I believe there's been, I think, reports from three different teams that have said he's interviewed very well. He's caught their eye. And
the Texans, Broncos, and Vikings.
Yeah, and he's made a name for himself, and, like, that's great. I think him having experience in Minnesota is good. Like, the Wolves are probably going to read way too much into
Harrison
that.
Harrison Smith loves him.
Yeah, and, like, the 2014, 2017, that's when the Vikings DBs were good.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time there was any, like, people forget how good Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes were as a duo.
Xavier Rhodes was Rhodes closed.
Yeah.
He shut down like Odell and DeAndre Hopkins.
And Julio. Julio never could make it. And you look, there was like that 2-year run. There was a very real argument Rhodes was the best corner in the league.
For sure.
Trey Waynes, a perfect number two. Injuries have killed him, but I think he's very underrated when he's healthy.
Mackenzie Alexander was even kind of good when in that run when Gannon was there.
Yeah. I mean, that's something you have to take into account. And I think, like, the Eagles have done a good job defensively with him in charge. Like, there was no reason to expect the Eagles to be a playoff team this year.
No.
And, like, I couldn't name you outside of, like, Darius Slay and then the old guys on the front four. I couldn't name a starter on their defense.
Anthony Harris.
Exactly. You forget that he's not good. I know, like, a lot of Vikings fans were, like, so distraught that he was gone. Like, there's a reason he signed such a low deal.
For four or five million, yeah.
Yeah.
After the Vikings paid him, what, like 13, 14 million for a year?
Yeah. It's, that does stick out. I do think that's going to help Gannon.
No, he's got a lot of good reviews from like, Anthony Harris and Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes. After the Vikings, he went to the Colts to work on that defensive staff, and Xavier Rhodes followed him there. So I mean,
they've been very good.
He's supposed to be like a high energy guy. Supposedly just like when he's figuring out the scheme or whatever for the week, he talks a lot to the players and gets a lot of their input. So
that's good. I mean,
yeah.
If the players endorse it, then that's all that really matters in the end. Yeah. Like, you can get behind your players. The players get behind you, which, as we've learned, the Vikings did not do that with Zimmer the last couple of years. I think you just got to get that culture change in. And if Gannon's going to be that guy, then I'm all for it.
I've seen a lot of comparisons to Brandon Staley, who's the Chargers coach now, which, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but I feel like he had a positive. He's got them heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Quick tangent. It's so much of this, like, hate for being, oh, it's all analytics. He's still a good coach, and, like, he manages his press conference as well. He seems like a fun guy to be around. The Chargers are in the thick of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He'd be a great head coach for any team. I don't know why he's looked at as some sort of, like,
analytics. He takes chances. Like, isn't that what you want on your head coach?
Yeah, you gotta be risky at times. You gotta take your chances.
I'm sure he'll go back this offseason. Like, you know, maybe bring in some input to figure out, you know, maybe don't take as many chances.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, what was that? The final game of the year. Where'd he go for, like, fourth down on, like, his own 20 or something?
Yeah, it was like his own 18-yard line.
Yeah. Probably not the best idea.
No.
But, you know, he's got confidence in his guys. And, you know, that's what players like. You know, they want that opportunity to get that. They don't want to be taken off the field.
Yeah. Zach Taylor did it against Minnesota in week one.
Yep.
They went for like their own 23-yard line or something like that and got stopped, but they still made a run. It's not like those decisions can completely ruin a season.
And it's going to happen more. You look at John Harbaugh does it a lot. He goes for two so much. You know,
Buffalo did it a lot last night. Yeah, every time like less than 5 yards, they were going for it.
It's going to happen. So yeah, I think he's a little bit of a sleeper just because of his history. I'll be curious to see if he gets a second interview. Just because he's interviewed. I mean, I think some like Jed Zolgad or whatever has brought this up somewhere that like, when are we going to hear about the guys that didn't interview well? Like everyone's a great interviewer. Everything went well. But obviously that's, you know, probably coming from somewhere else like a
Well, no, because they do say Bienemy doesn't interview well.
That is true.
Which everybody's like, oh, where's his chances? Apparently he's had a lot. He bombs.
He has. I think he's had like 13 or something.
Yeah.
So, but there's some, besides from interviews, there's some other intangibles or whatever that go into why Bienemy hasn't been picked.
Track record.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Kansas City likes to take chances on guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Poles gets a job. I wouldn't be surprised if he brought Bienemy in. But I don't think the opinion on Bienemy is as high inside the Vikings building as it is on the outside by some people who are like automatically assume like, oh, Bienemy, he's the guy. Bring him in.
Yeah, you see Mahomes. Like,
he was there in the Vikings. And I'm like, yeah, the Vikings know he was there and he's not anymore. So there's a reason why they didn't make him the interim head coach when, Brad Childress was fired, even though he was the assistant head coach.
Yeah.
All right, moving on we got three more. Dan Quinn, Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. He's 51. He's interviewing with everybody.
Yeah, and this is the one I was talking about. No, he had like that one good year of like with Atlanta.
They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and like I'm pretty sure his team was like as healthy as you could
for sure,
get.
For sure, and he had Kyle Shanahan.
And he had Kyle Shanahan. Like, oh, they blew the lead. Yeah, okay, but like since
they have Tony, is that when they had? Did they have Tony Gonzalez still? Was that year? They had Tony Gonzalez and like Julio and Devonta Freeman.
I don't know if they had Gonzalez or not, but
okay. No, yeah, you're right. I think that was with Gonzalez. I think they lost to like the Seahawks or something or the Pack. I think they lost to the Packers. That's what they had. Yep. Okay.
And like, I don't know. He hasn't been good in like 3 years. He's bounced around. He's not really stuck. I don't see the appeal.
And was the Cowboys defense that good?
I don't think so. Like, I want to say they were middle of the pack.
Yeah, like Micah Parsons, good player. Trayvon Diggs, good player. But like overall, was that like a dominant defense?
It was just like they got splash plays.
Yeah.
And you shut down Taylor Heineke. And
Jalen Hurts.
They might have Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm for all I know. Like, I don't know who they played again. I just don't see the appeal with Quinn, especially like aside from him and Bulls, everybody else has been young that they're interviewing.
Yeah.
Why
they stop Kirk Cousins?
They're getting so many chances when they haven't panned out. It baffles me.
They shut down Kirk Cousins. Okay. That's all you need to know. They figured him out. So, you know, he's got to have an advantage.
Hey, Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore turned Cooper Rush into a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins for one night.
Yep. I believe Quinn has got like second interviews. I think he's got him with, I want to say the Bears.
And Chicago.
And the Broncos, maybe?
Maybe. I know the Broncos have been like, they were kind of late to the charge, but they've been going after a lot of interviews this week.
Yep.
Chicago is narrowing it down to like the worst candidates on the market.
Without a GM. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's good. All right. Kevin O'Connell. He is the current Los Angeles Rams offensive coordinator. He is 36. And I do not believe he calls all of the plays, but I did hear that I think he comes up with the scripted plays.
Yeah. McVay guy? Gotta give him a chance.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, you're not gonna find the next McVay. Yeah, but you might. That's the thing, is that if you do, then you found yourself a really good head coach.
Where's the proof that you won't? Matt LaFleur, Zach Taylor, Kyle Shanahan was before McVay, but they run basically a very similar system. It's really the Shanahan tree. That's what it is.
Yeah. It all trickles down from that. Yeah. Like it seems like the Vikings are going to get somebody out of that tree by the end, like when it's all said and done.
Sure.
There's the top three candidates are from there. I like O'Connell. I believe he worked with their run game before as well.
I think he might be the quarterback's coach, or he used to be.
I think he was in Washington, where he comes in. A lot of people say he's just like Kirk Cousins. They think the same way.
Well, then I'm out.
Yeah, that's you've seen what he's done. And you're very you're impressed, but then you're like, oh, well, he's Kirk Cousins as a coach with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback.
That's not something I'd want anyone to aspire to.
It knocks him down a peg for me.
Yeah.
Of the offensive candidates, I don't think he's my top option. I think I would still lean toward the guy like Moore, maybe. Mike McDaniel still. I'm going to pound that all the way. It's not going to happen, but he's been around. He's in the McVay tree. If you get a guy from that tree, then if he hits, you are set for the next how many years. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then so be it, eat your losses. But we've seen no evidence of that being the case.
The last guy, who I guess you could say is from he is from the Shanahan tree as well. He's been in Washington, Atlanta.
Yep.
Where was he? Yeah. And now he's with LA. Raheem Morris, current Rams defensive coordinator, he looks older, but he's 45.
Yeah, and he's the
former head coach of the Bucks.
He's right behind
D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans for me. You'll look at his record as a head coach. Okay, it's not good. I'll admit it.
He had nothing to work with.
Yeah, he was in Tampa Bay before they were. But I think it was before they had Jameis. Right, it was 2007.
Yeah, they had Josh Freeman.
Long time ago,
and they won 10 games.
Do not disrespect Josh Freeman, legend. But I just don't see you can't look at his record and not account for him. He was an interim head coach as part of that.
Beat the Vikings.
Yep. And if you look at who he's coached as a position coach, he's been on both sides of the ball. He's worked offense and defense with multiple teams. He was I think it was a defensive coordinator at, I want to say it's Tulsa or Tulane in early 2000s. He's made his way to the NFL.
I think Kansas State, actually.
Defensive coordinator at Kansas State. Maybe it was DB coach at the other one then.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the NFL. He was a DB coach. He started with D'Angelo Hall, Rondé Barber, two very good corners. If you maybe aren't accustomed to the NFL pre 2010, those names might slip your mind. Those were two of the best corners in the league for a while.
Yeah.
Until D'Angelo Hall got scorched to oblivion by Jay Cutler that one. Or no, never mind. No, he got Jay Cutler four times.
Yeah, right? Hopkins.
Cutler threw four on him, but no. Yeah, he picked off Cutler four times, which
was it Hopkins that got him hurt in camp or whatever, on Hard Knocks or whatever?
If you've seen the Hard Knocks clip, Hopkins and him got into it and Hopkins won that by a mile. He took his entire soul with
him. Mike Hughes out there.
Yeah, but he's had AJ Terrell, Jalen Ramsey now, who speaks very highly of him. He's a coach he's worked with, and Ramsey has been with some good coaches.
Yep,
from Jacksonville and into Los Angeles.
He's Gus Bradley, and he had Staley last year.
Yeah, and I don't know, Morris. Yeah, you look at his record. I don't read too much into it. He's got experience both sides of the ball. He has head coaching experience. He's been on good staff. He's been with all of the guys. He's been with McVay and with Shanahan, and he's been the lead guy, albeit not great. He worked with wide receivers in Atlanta. Guess who Atlanta's wide receivers were? It was one of the best tandems in the league with Julio and Calvin Ridley. So,
And Muhammad Sanu. That's when he was kind of good.
Yeah, and those Falcons teams were pretty explosive offensively.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan got an MVP not too long ago, which hated if you want to. But Raheem Morris, track record, aside from actual record, is so good. Mm-hmm. He's still a young candidate, which a 6-year age gap between him and Dan Quinn, that's not that much. It is. I think.
Yeah, it is.
45-year-old head coach and a 51-year-old head coach. It's very different, especially the generation of football every 5-10 years. That's a pretty significant gap. So, I like D'Amico Ryan's a tad bit more, but Raheem Morris, if he's the guy, which I believe the Vikings interviewed Kwesi for the general manager spot, and then he apparently said something about Raheem Morris, and the very next day they requested it was either him or Ryan's. I believe it was Morris. And then they had their interview next day.
Well, yeah, because Morris wasn't on. He wasn't on the original seven.
Yeah.
And then he popped up.
He got that late push, and then he's in. I think he interviewed what?
Saturday, I think.
Yeah. So
Friday or Saturday?
It looks like if they go with Kwesi, which I don't think is going to be the case, but if they go with him, it looks like Morris is going to get the job. If they go with Poles, my guess would be that it goes to D'Amico Ryan. So
you think so? You think if they go with Poles, he'll go Ryan?
I think it's down to him or Bienemy. And I think that they like Ryan's more right now. So
any chance of Doug Peterson coming in? Because before this even started, there's like reports of like, oh, Peterson's going to meet with the Vikings. You just got to figure out when.
Yeah, I don't.
I've heard nothing.
I keep seeing the Doug Peterson, and I was just never high on him.
No.
He had the good run in Philly, obviously. They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, a lot of good coordinators.
Yeah. I mean, his tree is branched. Like, they've got Reich as a head coach. Yep. Sirianni just took that. A pretty similar team, but with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, and took them into the playoffs as well. Like, I think Peterson gets a lot of praise, which he's done a good job. I'll give him that, but I don't think he's some sort of like mastermind head coach that you have to like go all in at when there's a handful of better candidates.
For sure. Yeah. I like Raheem Morris a lot. I like that he has worked on both sides of the ball. I don't care about his record in Tampa Bay. He's kind of set up to fail. I think I've heard that was really just right after they got rid of John Gruden. And I think they still had to pay him. They still had to pay Gruden, so they weren't really looking to pay another, you know, head coach top money or really invest a lot of money in their roster. So he's kind of set up to fail there. And he still won 10 games one season with Josh Freeman. I don't look into that too much. I look into what he's able to do with the Rams defense this year, where I believe he kind of just kept the same system that was in place and maybe just got some input and maybe made some tweaks here to what Brandon Staley was doing.
I think it's kind of similar with like the Brady thing. Is like, yeah, their defense was good, but they had Aaron Donald and Jalen.
But he hasn't played in the secondary.
Yeah, like Darius Williams is one of the best corners in the league that doesn't get any sort of.
And he's got Eric Weddle out there playing right now.
Yeah, Eric Weddle playing meaningful snaps 2 weeks post retirement, post coming back from retirement.
Yeah.
Taylor Rapp is a pretty good defensive back. Terrell Burgess makes plays. Jordan Fuller, who Eric Weddle replaced, he stepped up huge in his second year. So, they have their stars, but. Good teams have superstars. That shouldn't affect.
You mentioned how like players talk highly of Raheem Morris too, but someone else who talked highly of him is Mike Tomlin.
That's a huge endorsement. That's a pretty big name to have.
Yeah,
supporting you. So,
and then I think they used to work together when they were the Bucks. So that's his connection to him. And Mike Tomlin's done a few good things.
So
he might know what he's talking about. maybe he'll have Kirk Cousins to hang out with next season. We'll see how that goes. All right. That's going to do it for today. We went through all the coaches. I think for me, you like Ryan's and Morris. I like those two, but I would put Morris at the top.
Okay.
I'd go Morris, Ryan's. And I'll put Jonathan Gannon third. I just like the vibe that I'm reading about with him as far as, you know, just kind of more modern kind of head coach, and he's got the history with the Vikings, and Harrison Smith loves him. How many guys does Harrison Smith love? Like, he says like three words all year. And so, that's okay. All right, Luke, where can people follow you on Twitter?
At @LukeParish_NFL.
All right. Make sure to go follow him. Check out his stuff on the Viking Age. He's been cranking out stuff all month. I'm sure he'll be doing a bunch of stuff on the draft. Mm-hmm. Coming up in the next few months, so go check that out. Make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app. Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.